This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
What a great day today is. What a great day today is. Maybe you're playing hooky from work or even from school. Maybe it's school and work. Maybe you're a teacher. I know all about that. I was a teacher in a former life. This day came and there were suddenly a bunch of substitutes in the building because teachers are like, yeah, I'm taking off. Going to watch the tournament. 12 noon. Suddenly there were doctor's appointments at like 11 a.m. everybody had to leave for. So I get it. I totally get it. I mean, let's just make it a national holiday like TJ Reeves said. Maybe you're not into the NCAA tournament. I mean, how could you not be? I think it's lost a bit of luster with everything going on in, you know, college sports. But, man, this is like what all sports should be about, right? You put a big bracket together. You just have a big playoff and a tournament. It's what you do in the NBA. It's what you do in the NHL. It's a little bit different. The NFL, right? The difference is now it's 68 teams. I mean, there is a push to have every team in the tournament. It kind of is already. Every team kind of already is in the tournament because if you win your conference tournament, you get in. So you have a chance. But today's a big day. Today is the, and I will always call it first day, day one of the NCAA tournament. Now, I understand that it's not always called that. Did they go back to calling it that, though? They might have even called it, did they go back to finally calling it the first round? They should because it's ridiculous not to call it the first round. That's what it is. We have games today in the tournament. What do we got here? All right. What time is this thing tipping off? 12:15 p.m., it looks like, is the first game of the day. And that is going to be Creighton against Louisville. That's at 12:15. So the way this works is they let you go for like a half hour, and then another game tips off. That's High Point against Purdue. And then there's nothing until 1:30. Montana against Wisconsin, and then 2 o'clock, and that hour into 3 o'clock, it starts to get going. SIU Edwardsville against Houston at 2, Alabama State Auburn at 2:50. Once we get into the 3 o'clock hour, we are ramping it up. McNeese State against Clemson, VCU BYU at 4:05, Georgia Gonzaga at 4:35. Then it's kind of a lull before the second sessions start on day number one. Some good matchups tonight as well. That's when St. John's is playing. That's when Michigan is playing. I know a lot of Michigan fans out there tonight. So it should be fun. And we have a second day of it tomorrow, right? You get all this today, then you get a lot more tomorrow. Tomorrow, here's the deal. Let me just do some, we're going to have some fun here in a little while, but let me kind of do some housekeeping here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Good morning. Glad to be with you today. Let's do some housekeeping here. Tomorrow, all of you, anybody listening, all of you are invited to join me for this show live at Whalen Brewing. Whalen Brewing is located at 3740 North Buffalo Street in Orchard Park. Great space. I have not been there. This will be my first time there. And everybody I've talked to said, oh my God, it is an amazing space. Can't wait to get there. Food, drinks. Yes, it's 10 a.m. You can show up, hang out with me. The games don't start until noon. That's fine. I'll stay for a little while watching some games. Come on by, listen, watch the Extra Point Show. I mean, it's kind of interesting. Like, you do your job, people just come and watch you do your job, right? And sit down and talk. That's what I'll be doing. But you could be involved. We're going to have you involved. And we're going to be giving away stuff. We got the WGR, some merch that's going to be there, some promotion stuff. So you can win some stuff, get some free stuff. WGR merch is going to be there. So if you like the tournament, you like free stuff, how about just great food, some great conversation, some drinks, and checking out a cool space at 3740 North Buffalo Street in Orchard Park. Tomorrow, Whalen Brewing. I will be there live on location, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. doing this show. And special guest. How about this? My buddy John Scott is going to be joining me at 11 a.m. tomorrow. He lives out that way. And I said, hey, I know you love the tournament. And I know you love to talk sports. And he's obviously WGRZ TV 2 Channel 2 sports director. He's going to join me at 11 a.m. and sit next to me and talk some sports. So come on out. Say hi to John. And let's have some fun. That's tomorrow. Today, we will talk with Paul Hamilton at 10:30 a.m. This is prior to the Sabres playing tonight at Utah. Puck drops at 9 p.m. The pregame show here on WGR at 8 p.m. And, of course, we'll have the game for you on WGR and along the Sabres radio network. Did you see, Josh, Lindy Ruff have the guys take a lap around the Olympic speed skating rink?
Yeah, that was pretty funny. It was
great.
It's so funny to see. Some of them were doing like the speed skating like motion too.
Yep.
So
it was amazing.
It's just weird seeing that too, like the big oval.
Yeah, and I guess like every team kind of does it, but it's cool. You know, you get that experience. I mean, yeah, these guys, they go to a place too every once in a while. Like, wow, it's a very new concept, new place. I guess is that their practice facility? I'm unaware of how. Like how that works.
Is
that
their
practice facility for the Utah team or just a visiting team? Do you know how that works?
I'm not 100% sure yet. I know all the visiting teams have posted that video, so it might just be for the visiting team, but it might also be for Utah too.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Anyway, so that's tonight. At 11 a.m., we'll get with Thad Brown, WROC-TV, Rochester. So we'll check in with Thad on the Sabres, the Bills offseason, free agency, NFL draft coming up. And we'll check in on the Rochester Americans. They are having a nice season. And there's a lot of prospects, obviously, down in Rochester, including Devin Levi and some others, who a lot of you are probably very interested in. And, you know, we do this every year. How are the guys in Rochester look? Because this team's not making the playoffs here. So we'll get with Thad Brown at 11 a.m. We got a tournament today. So a couple things about the tournament. Some more housekeeping. All right. I have posted a tournament contest. A lot of people have these. Joe has one going to raise some money. Great cause. So get into as many as you can. The one that I've posted, you can find it at Sal Sports. It's at CBS Sports is where I've done it. It's free to enter, which is great. Everybody loves, you know, free to enter. And you can win stuff. Now, how about this, Josh? Right now, and you're allowed three entries, okay? For each person. So I've done, actually, I have an entry, my wife and my son. So my account, you could see, it's under Salvatore Capaccio. If you look, that's me. That's one. Number two is my wife. Number three is my son. I think that's how we did it. But either way, you're allowed three entries. At this current time, we have 595 participants. If we get five more, now I'm already giving away a prize here, but I'm going to tell you, because we're going to get five more, right? All I need you to do is go find it on at Sal Sports. Find the link on the Sal Sports Facebook page or the Twitter page, okay? Or you can go to CBS sports.com, type it in, you know, the tournament, go to the bracket pool, type in Sal Sports, that's the name of the pool. The password is Buffalo with a capital B. Password is Buffalo with a capital B. If we get five more, if we get to 600, here's your prize. First place, a $100 gift card to the NCAA online shop. I am serious about this. I want to see who knows their college hoops. Second place, a $50 gift card to the NCAA online shop. And third place, a $25 gift card to the NCAA online shop. Now, why am I giving away prizes? Because I just want to have fun with this and want you to enter and want to have a great time and talk about it on the Extra Point Show going forward. Because I'm gonna update the leaderboard as this thing goes forward and say, hey, congratulations, this person. That's what they have. Can they stay there? So, you know, maybe we'll have the winner call in if they want. But here you go. It's free to enter. Check it out. All we need is five more complete entries, and the winner will get. We're up to, now we need three more. Already, I just refreshed. We're at 597.
I'm currently filling out my bracket as we
speak.
Okay.
We got to get 600 complete brackets. Total brackets right now, 597 in this particular pool. If we get to 600, which we will, the winner will get a $100 gift card to the NCAA online shop. Second place gets a $50 gift card. Third place gets a $25 gift card. And that is all courtesy of me. The only thing I actually ask of everybody, I do ask you one thing. It's free. Go subscribe to my YouTube channel, at Sal Sports, because that's where you find It's Always Game Day in Buffalo with me and Matt Bove and a whole lot of other content. So check out the Sal Sports YouTube channel. That's where you can find It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. And right now, at the YouTube channel, we have 11,798 subscribers. So maybe we can get to 12,000. I need 200 more subscribers. So that's all I'm asking for everybody. So there you go. You have a YouTube channel to subscribe to. To watch your Bills content, and why wouldn't you want to do that? And then you have a tournament form to fill out, brackets, entry, for free, that you can win a $100 gift card, or a $50 gift card, or a $25 gift card, or just have some darn fun. Because we're going to do that. All right? So that's all I ask. So let's have some fun with it. Today's the day. And by the way, you got to be in by noon, because that's when the games are starting. Maybe 12:15 they'll give you two, I guess. Okay, yeah. Brackets lock in 2 hours and 3 minutes. So 12:15. I'm looking at the CBS site right now. All right, we got some, and I guess you could name your bracket, but it really goes by names here, so hopefully you don't mind having your name on there, because everybody's going to see all your names. Let's see, in the time that we've been talking, did we get to 600 here? Yes! 612, how about that? How many do you think we can get to? Can we get to 800? I'm going to be spending a lot more money here, aren't I? No, let's get as many as we can. Let's have some fun with this, we'll do it. It is tournament time. All right. It's not only, you know, tournament fun time as far as the games, but we can do some of our own games here. So every year I try to come up with something a bit, you know, fun on the radio on day number one, of the tournament. And last year we would do, remember we did Tournament Survivor last year? That was pretty fun, Josh. Remember that game?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Tournament Survivor.
We counted down, or we went back,
we eliminated
and forth
teams,
and eliminated teams, yeah.
Based on whatever you wanted to eliminate. That was, maybe we got to the Sweet 16, we did that. All right, here, I'm going to test you right now. Josh Schmidt, my producer, and everybody else listening out there, okay? Going to test you on some NCAA tournament team and school and mascot trivia. Okay, you ready? Can we do this?
I'm ready as I'll ever be, I guess. Let's see how I
okay.
do.
Okay. I would say, okay, you know that there are obviously teams named Tigers. That's a very, very, I think Tigers might be the most popular college mascot in the country, okay? How many teams are named Tigers in this particular tournament, do you think?
Ooh. Okay. So we've got Memphis. We've got... Is Clemson? No, wait. Clemson's got
yes.
the paw... Wait, Clemson, yes? Okay, all right. That's what I thought, but the paw print doesn't necessarily like look like a Tiger paw print. It just looks like a paw print.
You got two
there's
of them.
There's two. Yeah, obviously, yeah. I'm drawing a blank on the rest of them. I know there's more. Because I've seen, like, clicking through brackets and stuff, I've seen, like, oh, like, there's a tiger. Like, that team I know is, I'm going to go with six. Let's go with six. I feel like that's low, though.
There are only four, believe it or not. I say only because Tiger is a very popular mascot name. The Auburn Tigers, the number one overall seed, by the way.
Oh, Auburn, yep.
Clemson Tigers, Memphis Tigers, and the Missouri Tigers.
Oh, Missouri. Yeah. Maybe I forgot about Missouri because in almost every bracket, I have them losing to Drake in the first round.
How many Cougars are there?
Let's go. Man, Cougars is a little tougher. Three?
You got it. Wow. You got it.
All right.
You can probably name a couple.
BYU.
Yep, is number one. One of them is a one seed.
One seed. Oh, yep. Houston. Houston, yep.
Houston. And then the other is SIU Edwardsville.
Oh.
They are also the Cougars.
That's right, yeah. Okay.
Okay. However, okay, we said four Tigers. Do you know what the most mascot there is in this tournament? What mascot is there the most of in this tournament?
Okay, wait, question.
You know, it's got to be more than four because there's four Tigers. It's not that.
Right. So, like, with Creighton and Louisville, they're both birds. Are we counting individual types?
No, I mean, it's got to be the name, the actual name. I don't care what family of species they're from.
I just saw those two teams, and I was like, wait a second. Let's just clarify there. Okay, I'm going to go with the Bulldogs, I think.
And you are going to be correct.
Yes. All right, let's
go. There are six Bulldogs. Can you name them?
Gonzaga, Georgia.
Gonzaga is one. By the way, it's Gonzaga.
Or Gonzaga, sorry.
That's okay. We call them the Zags, but it is, for everybody else out there, not trying to correct you specifically, it is Gonzaga, so everybody knows. It's Gonzaga, it's Georgia, yep.
Yep. Drake.
Yes, very good, Drake.
Wolford. Or no, that's the Terriers. The Terriers, sorry.
They're the Terriers, okay. I believe. Yes.
Is Troy's not? No, right?
No.
No. Okay. Xavier, that's one.
No, they're the Musketeers.
What? Oh, geez. I don't know why I thought of them as the Bulldogs. All right, I might be tapped out then. I don't know. I'm
okay, Georgia Bulldogs.
Yep.
Mississippi State Bulldogs.
Oh, okay.
How about your Ivy League champ, the Yale Bulldogs?
Yale. Right.
The Gonzaga Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm.
The Drake Bulldogs. And the hardest one of the group, the Bryant Bulldogs.
Oh, yeah. Bryant. Yep. It gets tough when you get to like the lower seeds too, just because they're like random teams that kind of show up, you know, like not to say Bryant just showed up, but Bryant Bulldogs, man.
There are two Aggies.
Oh, I know this one. Texas A&M and Utah State.
That's right. Yes.
Thank you, Mountain West,
Aggies,
for that
very
one.
Good.
I play a lot of Wyoming football on College Football 25, so I've faced the Utah State Aggies quite a bit.
Are there any Panthers?
I feel
Pitt
like...
Pitt is not in?
Yeah, Pitt's not there. I feel like there's one. I'm gonna say there's one, but I don't know who it is. I just have a feeling that there's one Panthers team, because that's also like a fairly common school nickname, I feel like.
I did this specifically because I wanted to give a shout out. There is one Panthers, the High Point Panthers. Excuse me, the High Point Panthers.
Yes, High Point.
And the reason is because I hope I say his name right, and I apologize if I don't. Noah Dybul. I don't know exactly how you say his name, but he is the director of basketball operations. He is from Akron High School, a graduate of Akron High School.
Awesome.
How about that?
Yeah, that's cool.
And this year, Akron actually won the sectional, so that's pretty cool. So we have a good Buffalo connection with High Point, the Panthers. Okay, you ready? We know that West Virginia is not in the tournament because they're actually like, they've like people suing from West Virginia, like the politicians suing the NCAA. Oh, you should have been in the tournament, whatever. Holy cow. We got better things to do in our lives. But it was a snub. They should have been there. They're not there. However, is there another Mountaineers or no?
Yes, there is. St. Mary's.
Ooh. Mount St. Mary's.
Mount St. Mary's. Sorry. Mount St. Mary's. I feel like everyone's been doing
Very
that.
Good.
Mount St. Mary's.
Okay. I'm going to give you the name of a mascot. You tell me if this mascot is included in this year's tournament. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
The Salukis.
The Salukis.
Uh-huh.
I don't even like. No, I don't think. I feel like yes because of how random and obscure it is, but I don't even know what to think that would be. I'm gonna go yes. Sure, why not?
There are no Salukis, but Southern Illinois is the Salukis, and they did not make the tournament.
What is a Saluki?
What is a Saluki? I believe it's some sort of dog. Maybe it's like a. What is a Saluki? Hold on, I think it's a dog. Let me just check, make sure. Here, a Saluki is.
Oh, it's.
Can you look it up?
Yep, I see what type of dog it is. It's the. I don't know how to describe it, but if you know it if you see it, kind of sort of dog. Like, it. It's like a lankier dog.
It is
tall
a
and skinny, a long fluffy tail.
The Saluki or Persian Hound is a standardized breed developed from sight hounds, dogs that hunt primarily by sight rather than strong scent. How about that? Okay. Are there any bulls in this tournament?
Bulls.
We know that the University of Buffalo Bulls are not in. Are there any other bulls in this tournament?
I'm going to have to say no.
That is correct. There are no bulls in this tournament. No bulls.
All right.
Is there a team called the Manta Rays?
Yes. No, there's not. UC San Diego is not. I thought for a second. They're the Tritons or something.
They're
something
the Tritons.
Like that. Yeah.
That was in one on my list here, so you got that. Is there a team called the Manta Rays?
The fact that you asked it again makes me want to say yes, but I'm going to stick with no.
The answer is no, and the reason I pulled that is because that is the nickname of Lemon Bay High School, where I used to coach in Florida. And I believe it's the only Manta Rays in the entire country for a high school mascot.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
Would have thought another coastal city would have that as their mascot.
Okay, which school boasts the alumni of both Andy Reid and Ken Jennings? Ken Jennings is the guy in Jeopardy, right?
Yeah, the host, right? He was like the guy that
yes.
the best ever Jeopardy player or something like that?
Yeah. What school boasts alumni, both Andy Reid and Ken Jennings? I picked two different, like a football guy and an entertainment guy, so, you know.
With Ken Jennings is no help at all, but I'm really, like, frustrated that I can't think of where Andy Reid went to college.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why you would know, but there is.
I don't know why I would know either, but just because the Chiefs are a part of our everyday lives here, so it's like.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to throw out a wild guess, and for some reason I want to say Illinois, but I don't think that's right.
It is BYU.
Really?
Andy Reid went to BYU.
Did he play football there, or did he just go there? He probably played football, right?
I don't know. I have to look. That's interesting. He did win. Go find yourself, ladies and gentlemen, go find yourself the video of Andy Reid winning the punt, pass, and kick competition as a youngster. He looks like he's about 18 compared to five-year-olds. It's amazing.
It looks like he did play football there. There's a picture of him. He was an offensive tackle.
There is a school here where the famous astronaut Neil Armstrong went and is an alum. Which school? I'll give you a hint.
You're getting me with all the alumni now. I don't.
Okay. Yep.
What's the?
Also hint? At this school, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Orville Redenbacher. You know who he is, right?
Yeah, the popcorn guy.
Yep. He also went to this school. So did comedian Jim Gaffigan. Famous basketball coach John Wooden. Lots of good alumni here.
Yeah.
And you ready? This is going to give it away. Quarterback Drew Brees.
Oh, Purdue. All right.
Yes.
All right. Yeah.
There you go.
Huh. Wow. That's a lot of. I didn't realize Purdue had that many people there or had that many like famous alumni. Orville Redenbacher being one of them.
I know. You should get this just from the fact that you've seen him at games. Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, Texas.
No doubt. You got that one.
Wait, Texas isn't in, though. Texas is no longer in.
While they made the tournament. That's correct. Sorry. You're right about that. You're right.
Sorry, I had to point that out there.
No, I like it.
I had to point that out there for Zach.
They're in the tournament, but yes.
Because, Zach's a big Texas fan.
I love it. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm going to give you another one here. Okay. Hold on. Looking at some. Okay. I'm looking at something that's not going to be too easy, but also not too hard. Oh, here. You should know this just. Okay, this is an interesting one. This school boasts alumni, including Madonna. Anything on that yet?
Maybe. Give me
And Adam Schefter.
Oh.
If you pay attention to this one close enough, you'll know it. And Tracy Wolfson. Oh. She's always tweeting about
him. Yeah, I know. Oh, man, Michigan.
Michigan!
Yeah,
I just saw
a video of her interviewing the Michigan coach the other day, and that's, yeah, there it is.
I've kind of always been I guess it's a little bit of jealousy. Michigan, they have such a great, rich, sports history. Never been, too hardcore a Michigan fan. I'll root for him once in a while. I won't root for him sometimes. I'm kind of rooting for him now because I got a chance to actually, meet Dusty May last year when the Bills were in Pittsburgh to do the scrimmage, against the Steelers. And a bunch of the college basketball coaches were there because they were going to see Bruce Springsteen that night in Pittsburgh just randomly. And I got to meet Dusty May and hang out a little bit with him. He's a really fun guy. And that was pretty cool. And just kind of got to know him a little bit, what he's about. Now I'm kind of rooting for Michigan because of that. All right. What else you got? Well, yeah, anything. All right, so I think that's good. Can you name anybody who went to UC San Diego? Billy Bean. Billy Bean went to UC
San
Diego. Yeah.
Huh. Wow. I guess he is from California. That makes sense.
Okay. Actress Meryl Streep and CNN's Anderson Cooper both went to this school.
Oh. For some reason, I want to guess UCLA.
It is the Ivy League, Yale.
Oh, Yale. That was my second choice. I don't know why UCLA. I think just not that Anderson Cooper's in Hollywood, but just TV and all that stuff popped into my head and UCLA felt kind of the right choice, but Yale makes sense too.
All right, good stuff today. Good stuff. Thank you very much for playing along. Again, go to the, let's see. All right, we played so long that now we can actually take a look and see how many brackets we have here. Let's see how many brackets we have. I'm just going to update and refresh here. We are up to, ladies and gentlemen, in the Sal Sports Bracket Challenge at CBSSports.com, 690. I love it.
Wow.
Thank you.
That's a
winner gets a $100 gift card.
30 minutes.
Yeah. It's amazing. Winner gets a $100 gift card to the NCAA online shop. Second place gets a $50 gift card. Third place, $25 gift card. It's free to enter. Just subscribe to my YouTube channel. That's all I ask. Trying to get to 12,000 there today as well. See, we all can all help each other, right? So that's all I ask. Great job today. Thank you very much. We had some fun with that. It's NCAA tournament day number one. It's also Sabres at Utah Hockey Club night tonight at 9 p.m. Paul Hamilton on the way next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. You might not be familiar with that song, but that is the Iowa State Cyclones fight song. And we are going to bring on right now, speaking of alumni, the most famous alumni from Iowa State you could ever imagine, Paul Hamilton, on the Western Hotline. His Iowa State Cyclones having a nice year. I picked them to win a few games here, Paul. I think they could do some damage in the tournament. What do you think?
Yeah, unfortunately, they were missing both their starting guards for the last game of the Big 12 tournament. And that basically is their best players who eat up most of their minutes. They're getting one back, but they're not getting the other. And he was the MVP of the Big 12 tournament last year. He was the MVP of the Maui tournament this year. So that's a big loss for them. But they have other good players. I mean, they have Curtis Jones, who used to play at UB, who was sixth man of the year, All-American this year. And, averages between 17 and 20 points per game. The guy can shoot it. To give you an idea, the last game against BYU, he, in 5 minutes of clock time, hit 22 points. That's how quickly he can heat up. when you got a guy that can shoot like that, you're in any game.
They take on Lipscomb. Josh, what is the Lipscomb mascot? Do you know?
I do not know that one, actually. Lipscomb is a college I had never heard of until we got to this.
It's in Nashville, Tennessee.
They're the Bisons.
Yeah, it's the Bisons. That's why I brought it up. They're the Bisons.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
The
yeah.
Lipscomb Bisons. That's right. They take on Paul's Iowa State Cyclones in day number one, our first round of the NCAA tournament. Paul joins us on the Wester Hotline. Sabres in Utah tonight. And, of course, Paul's appearances on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Well, it was kind of cool, Paul, yesterday seeing the videos of the guys skating around the speed skating oval at in Utah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, they were at the Olympic facility, which is right next to the hockey arena. So Lindy asked, goes, can we go? And I go, yeah, go on out. So they took a few laps around there. Of course, Twitter guy is, how come they only skated one, thinking that was practice? And it's like, relax.
That's really funny.
They're having a few grins before practice. They went to the hockey rink and actually had practice. Yeah, they looked like they had some fun out there doing a little speed skating before they got to. I think Lindy actually did it, too, because I was watching his interview online, and he was all out of breath. He gave a time or something like that, so I think he might have taken a lap, too.
Paul, yesterday, before we get to the Sabres, there was a lot of stuff from Gary Bettman at the NHL, NHLPA, he had a press conference or whatever event that was at that he was speaking, and he touched on a lot of things. One of them is he is not in favor of extending 3-on-3 OT, ice concerns and wear and tear and injuries for players. Do you think there's a sentiment around the league to go to more extended 3-on-3, or is that kind of the right play here as far as the players and the coaches and everybody else is concerned? And obviously we saw this in the Four Nations tournament.
We did, and I think that's where the momentum came from. But when you look at doing four, longer 3-on-3, now some of the players were okay with it that participated in it in the Four Nations. Nate MacKinnon was not one of them. And he wasn't looking forward to that. I think they were saying, look, we play enough as it is. 5 minutes is just fine. But I've seen other players say it's okay. If they do it, of course, it would have to be approved by the Players Association. And that's another thing Bettman talked about, that next week he's going to start, negotiation with the Players Union to get a new contract. And it seems like there's a little bit better labor peace in the NHL than they've had in the past. So I think there's a lot of optimism that they're going to be able to, come to a new collective bargaining agreement when this one expires and not have, a lot of disputes and that type of thing. But that would be something that would have to be approved. And Bettman just seems pretty staunch on that. When he digs in and normally doesn't change his mind.
Yeah, it's interesting. Speaking of rules, the NFL, they have their rules proposals, and that just came out. We'll get to that in the next hour. That's going to happen at the owners' meetings. But generally, a lot of times, you'll get some stuff from the NHL. Nothing on that table, nothing on that front. He said, no rules changes proposed at these GM meetings. Are you surprised about that? It sounds like everything's kind of kosher. We could think of things, getting rid of the challenges, stuff like that. The fans might want stuff, but apparently the league said, hey, we're all good.
Yeah, they always say we're all good. You talk about challenges, and now they're talking about, well, Ovechkin's goal, and what if there's a challenge? And,
yeah.
They're talking about that's a nightmare if that were to happen. They're basically putting down their own rules. Oh, we hope that doesn't happen. And, the whole thing basically admitting that, we don't want a key goal like that or a game seven. They talked about game seven, that we sit there on pins and needles the whole game hoping that we don't get an overtime goal challenged in game seven. Oh, you mean like the Yanni Gourde goal for the Sabres and the Stars, the one that didn't get a review? That one, okay. It's just a goofy league.
Next year, the All-Star game is going to be in the Islanders are going to host it. But on the heels of what we just saw with the Four Nations, compared to what we've seen from the All-Star game, we all know the Four Nations is way better. But you also have Olympics going on next year. This is a tough needle to thread here, Paul. And there was a lot of talk about how to do that. They don't really know. He said, according to Elliot Friedman, how can they turn that presence into a good showcase? Because it's not really going to be, knowing that the Olympics are right after that as well. What's the solution here? What do you think they'll do? Anything that you think that the league should move to, and how to do all this?
I think it's goofy that they're having an All-Star game the same year as the Olympics. I don't really see the need for it, and I don't think the players would much care about it. The game is a joke. That's as many All-Star games are. The only one that is fairly competitive is baseball's All-Star game. But the NBA, what do they get, almost 200 points now? You know, and the NHL is just basically a breakaway contest, and it's just I don't know what they can do with it other than get rid of it, because I don't really like what the NFL does. At least they don't have that sham game they used to anymore, where the linemen would just stand up and look at each other, not even touch each other on every play. And, you know, that turned into a touch football game anyway. So I really, other than just, you know, giving players the honor of making the All-Star team and doing that, I mean, you can do the skills competition if you want. Yep. You know, they have the speed scanning and the shooting, and the fans seem to get into that. But as far as actually playing a game, I don't see the need for it.
I have an idea. Let's do this. Okay, do the skills competition. Because they have to travel, according to Bettman, players have to be there because they will travel to the Olympics from New York City right after that. Okay, if you're getting all the Olympians there, hold a big open practice. You know what I mean? Like, okay, and have some scrimmaging going on, right? They got to practice anyway. They got to go to the Olympics. Anyway, that's just Sal Capaccio's idea. I mean, you know, instead of having a sham game, like you said, if the players are going to be there, the Olympians are going to be there, you could do a skills competition. You can hold an open practice people can go to, watch all the Olympians and however that's going to work. And then, you know, get everybody over to do maybe a scrimmage or two and then get them over to the Olympics. So, you know, we'll see what they do. Football went through this too, Paul.
Remember when you were a kid and the Sabres had open practices?
Oh, my God.
All the time?
You used to love going to that.
I know. And it was like sold out. It was a full building for it.
Yep.
I mean, the kids and the families loved it.
For sure. That's what I was thinking, too. And I think you would get something like that here in this situation. Okay. I think that's it for league stuff I wanted to go over. What about the Sabres tonight? Where are we with injuries with this team right now, Paul?
Well, watching Lindy yesterday, he talked about Paterka. It sounds like he'll play today. Norris isn't with the team. He's with the team, but not with the team on the ice. He's hoping to get him. Maybe you'll see him on a morning skate now with him practicing yesterday. I'm sure today's morning skate is probably optional, but he might be out there. He was talking about him getting back on the ice later in the week. Now, does that mean get back on the ice and he has a possibility to either play in Minnesota on Saturday or Winnipeg on Sunday? Or are you looking at getting him back for the home game? So he's with the team and they very close. But Lindy's kind of saying the same things he said with Zucker, you know, like, well, it's not going as quickly as we'd like type of a comment. And Kulik is in concussion protocol, so he's not even with the team.
They've managed to be a little bit better on the power play lately, Paul. Why is that?
Yeah, it's has some different ingredients into it because you had three offensive players out of the lineup in Norris, Kulik, and Paterka. So those are three power play players right there on your two units. Mm-hmm. Peyton Krebs has gotten an opportunity on the second unit and scored, got himself open in the slot, and actually took a pretty nice shot. And you say to yourself, well, why do you pass all the time? Why don't you shoot every now and then when you see a shot like that and a goal like that? And I've liked Ryan McLeod, and for a couple of reasons. I know there's that group out there who say faceoffs don't matter, but when you're on a power play and lose the faceoff all the time, as the Sabres normally do, the other team gets the puck down the ice. It goes, you just lost 30 seconds of your power play. And you have to get back into the zone again, which sometimes for the Sabres is challenging. They have trouble with their entries sometimes. But McLeod has been winning some draws for him. Now they get puck possession in the zone immediately, which I think helps. Now you can get set up quickly. And, you know, he made that nice, remember against Vegas on the power play, it was McLeod who went behind the net and really pressured Pietrangelo to make that pass up the middle that Zucker intercepted and scored on the power play. That was all McLeod using his speed to pressure the defenseman to make a bad play. I'm noticing, too, recently, I don't think they competed hard enough on the power play, and I noticed they're winning some battles. Mm-hmm. That 4-on-3 power play in overtime, I think they won every single battle. Now, it took them the whole power play to score, but really, they only got out of the zone once, and Buffalo got right back in the zone again. But that's the problem. If you're not going to win battles and you're not going to win faceoffs, you're going to get one shot and done, and then the other team's going to get it out. So, though, you know, if you're more willing to get into the battle, win the battle, and get some motion in your power play, which they've done too, you always can't count on Tage Thompson at left circle anymore. He scored from the right circle. He scored from the point. He starts moving, and now the other team has to find him. And that now turns the penalty kill into chaos. And that's what they're trying to do. If you have zone time, if you win the draw and you have a lot of zone time, now the other team can't change their penalty killers. When it's one and done, they can change their penalty killers and get fresh guys out there. Lindy Ruff's talked about what happens when they can't change their penalty killers. You get guys who are tired. What happens with guys who are tired? They make mental mistakes. And then you've got them. So those are the types of things they're shooting for and maybe are a little bit better for them.
Just to give perspective for everybody, Sabres are basically have been right around 16, 17% for a lot of the year on the power play. Five of their last 19, 26%. I mean, that's a nice jump, but we'll see if it can be sustained. The Sabres have about, 14, 15 games left here, Paul. What do you think the objective is of Kevin Adams and Lindy Ruff over this stretch? They're not going to make the playoffs. I mean, mathematically, they're still alive, of course. You want to win every game and give yourself a chance. But what is the overall objective, you think, of this front office and this coaching staff between now and when the season ends?
Well, to get some consistent hockey finally going, you know, finish up strong, finish up showing that maybe you can play Lindy Ruff's style of hockey on a consistent basis. You have won three out of four games. You had to work hard for all three wins. They were close games, shootouts, overtime, right down to the end. And you had to gut it out to win a hockey game. And you beat two very good teams in the Vegas Golden Knights and the Edmonton Oilers. You know, right now, Vegas, you know, is right near the top. As I look right now, they're fourth in points percentage. And the Edmonton Oilers are ninth. So you beat two very good teams there. And I think that's what they're looking for now. You know, find a little bit of consistency. Get yourself ahead of the Flyers. Get yourself ahead of the Kraken. Get yourself ahead of the Penguins. You know, when I'm looking at points percentages right now, and they're right there with those teams instead of being fourth last place. Show Adams and show Lindy Ruff that you want to play the style they want. And I think that's the problem all year long is the inconsistency of the play that we've seen, and you know, has just dumped them into the bottom of the Eastern Conference.
Paul Hamilton on the West Hur Hotline. Sabres' first trip to Utah. Huh? I mean, by the way, I saw that they have a name submitted, but we don't know what it is. Is that the case?
Yes, that's what they said. I don't know if they're just going to stay with the hockey club, mm-hmm. you know, if that's what they want to do, or, you know, what they may do. But, yes, they do have it down. They just haven't said what those options will be.
All right, Paul. We will be watching for your reports tonight. Of course, PHAM1717 on social media. Good luck to your Iowa State Cyclones this basketball tournament, of course, and we'll catch up again soon. Thanks a lot, buddy.
I even watched the women yesterday. They were in the 11th seed game against Princeton, and they got behind and came back and won that. So now they get tomorrow to play number 6 Michigan. So they're even alive.
There you go. I love it. Good times are rolling with Iowa State basketball on both the men and the women's side. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Yep.
All right, you got it. Paul Hamilton right there. All right, so someone just tweeted at me and said, Sal, I looked at the list of names of people in your bracket pool to see if someone knew, someone I knew was also participating. And someone entered under the name Stefan Diggs. Maybe it's him. Maybe Stefan Diggs is in my bracket pool. I mean, he's on his way to New England, right? That was the report. He's going to visit the Patriots. Maybe he's like, yeah, on the way there, I'm just going to enter Sal's bracket pool here. Hey, why not? Might want to win. He might want to win a $100 gift card to the NCAA online shop. By the way, for anybody entering my bracket pool, you need to know how the scoring works, right? So I'm going to tell you how the scoring works. Because last year, maybe it was 2 years ago. I think it might have been 2 years ago, but we went through this. Maybe it was last year too, and I explained how the scoring works and where it comes from. And it was a great education because I did not know anything about this until I learned it as well. And I reward upsets. So I need to tell you about that when we come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You want to be educated? You're about to be after this time out on WGR.
Extra Point Show coming up live from the Just Call Jed studios. Injured? Best results? Happy clients? Call Jed now, 839-3939 or calljed.com.
All right, so I've searched high and low for the best way to score an NCAA tournament pool. Like, I've always thought it's just, I've looked at ways people have done it and thought, okay, yeah, that's better than this one. That's not as good as this one. I don't know, Josh. There's no perfect way. But first of all, I think you should reward upsets. If somebody's just going to pick chalk and they wind up, you know, you getting to the end and you give all these points for picking the champion, what fun is that? Reward upsets. That's what the tournament's about. It's about upsets, right? So reward upsets. So I always like when there's a scoring system that rewards upsets in some way, shape, or form. Early upsets especially. Pick a 13 to win over a 4. Pick a 12 over a 5. You get it, you're right, bam, I get more points that way. So what I've done in my tournament is I've literally rewarded upsets simply by you pick that team, you get that many points. So if you're entering my pool, which by the way, CBS Sports, check it out, Sal Sports on Twitter, you got an hour left, you can adjust here if you want. If you're entering my pool, you get the number of points for every seed you pick that wins. If you pick a 1 seed, they win, you get 1 point every time. You pick a 5 seed, they win, you get 5 points every time they win. If you pick a 12, a 13, you get 12 or 13 points every time they win. But of course, you have been advancing on, you know, there's less chance you're going to win with that team because that's why they're the lower seed. You also have, and I have to reward by round, what I've done is I hate when it's like, oh, you get 25 points for the champion, but only, you know, 15 points to get there or whatever. I don't know. What's called the Fibonacci sequence. Have we ever had this discussion before? Have you learned what the Fibonacci sequence is?
I think we might have last year, but I don't remember, so refresh me.
Okay, I actually did a search and said, what's the best way? And a lot of them came up with, use the Fibonacci sequence. So the Fibonacci sequence in math, okay, is a sequence in which every number, the number that precedes it, the next one adds up. So here's what I mean. If you have two numbers, it's that number plus the next one equals the next one. So the way it goes is you get 1 point for first round, then 2 points. Well, what's 1 plus 2? The next round is worth 3. What's 2 plus 3? 5. What's 3 plus 5? 8. Does that make sense? So you're adding the previous two round numbers together to get the next round what it's worth. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I like that. That makes sense.
Okay, so the reason is because you only get to 13 on this by picking a champion. We're not rewarding with all these major amount of points that only the champion matters. So you get rewarded for upsets, a point per seed that wins, and it's the Fibonacci sequence, which is 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13. That's it. You win the first round, you get 1 point. Second round winners all get 2 plus the seed. Next round, 3. Plus the seed, then 5 plus the seed, 8 plus the seed, 13 for the champion plus the seed. It's the each of two rounds added up get to the next round number of points. I hope that makes sense. Hope to educate you there because I had to be educated on that. I didn't know what it even meant. But then again, I'm a drummer and I should know because apparently this is used a lot in drumming. And I can actually read, I guess in air quotes, drum music because it's not like piano and like A's and B's or, you know, all the letters, but drum music is actually notes. And you have things called flams and different kinds of things. And I can read that, but I'd never even heard of the Fibonacci sequence, even as a drummer growing up. But apparently a lot of music and drumming is based on the Fibonacci sequence, which is really cool. That's why I thought this was really cool and fit me and the scoring as well. We'll take a timeout. Thad Brown, WROC-TV in Rochester. Check out what he has for the NCAA tournament. Check in on the Bills offseason from his perspective and what's going on with the Amerks as they start to wind down their season and look towards the playoffs as well.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
1.5, 4 out of 19 for the night. Worry about anybody underneath the basket. Let it go there. But Heinrich and Lee are the two guys. Heinrich starts inside, goes outside. Heinrich gets it. Heinrich puts up the shot. It's too long, and Syracuse is your national champion.
Oh, boy. That was 22 years ago next month, early April. And we are a long way from that. Syracuse winning the national championship with Carmelo Anthony, who By the way, of course, his son, Kion Anthony, now going to Syracuse next year. Really nice recruiting class for Syracuse next year with Sadiq White and a couple others. We'll see if they can get back on track. 4 years in a row, Syracuse doesn't make the tournament. That happened 22 years ago. Hakeem Warwick with the big block in New Orleans. I was there for that game. It was a month after I got married, actually. I remember it very vividly. And it's hard to believe it's been 22 years, but no Syracuse Orange in this tournament. They haven't made it in quite a while. The tournament kicks off today. And then, of course, tomorrow, day number two, make sure you join me. I will be doing this show, broadcasting live from Whalen Brewery. Okay, Whalen Brewing, I should say. And then the address is 3740 North Buffalo Street in Orchard Park. We're going to have a good time from 10 to 12. You can check me out broadcasting the show live. In between breaks, we can say hi to each other. Going to have WGR merch on hand, some giveaways. And then, of course, stick around. It's a Friday. The tournament got a great space, got great food, drinks, of course, TVs to watch the games. It's going to be really cool. Our buddy John Scott's going to be joining me here. John, of course, there, I should say, he is the sports director at WGRZ TV Channel 2 in Buffalo. He's going to join me for the 11 a.m. segment. Going to have Pat Malacaro join me to talk a little bit about the Bisons opening up next week. That's going to happen at 10:30 tomorrow. So we got a lot planned. Join me tomorrow at Whalen Brewing, 3740 North Buffalo Street in Orchard Park, live, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Thad Brown, WROC-TV, joins me right now on the West Her Hotline. Thad, you remember Syracuse winning the national title 22 years ago, don't you?
You fired up the Syracuse fight song there, and I'm wondering, where are you going with this, man? There's no reason to be playing that fight song this time of year. But, yeah, yeah. I get it, reliving the glory years, man. I understand. Sal, don't look now. Syracuse is a football school. I mean, this is the new world order we're in. So.
You're right about that. How about, too, I mean, I know you're a big college sports fan. I am. It is amazing how far off the ACC has fallen in basketball, isn't it?
This year in particular is wild. I mean, you know, the fact that, you know, North Carolina was the lightning rod team that should not have gotten in the tournament, you know, for a school that's as blue as the blood gets, you know, just shows you how weird a year it was. I mean, you know, Syracuse was a bad ACC team in a bad conference. It just was, you know, hard to imagine. There weren't really, I mean, you had Duke and Louisville was fine, but, you know, the other part of it too, Sal, is that, I mean, I think Stanford and SMU were in the ACC this year. I'm still having trouble kind of digesting both of those things. So, you know, figuring out who's in what conference and kind of allowing those teams to create the personality of the conference and the assessment for the year, you know, is something that is just, it's different. It's hard to follow for those of us who are of a certain age, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, everything going on right now, it's just, I've lost a little bit of attachment to college sports, no doubt, because of the way things are. But you also have to adapt, right? And there is a segment in a world that there are a lot of people saying, no, this is the way it is. And they're going to thrive in this and they're going to excel. And hey, look what Rick Pitino's doing at St. John's. I mean, he's a great coach, obviously. And look what he's been able to do to that with that program, bringing it back.
That's one thing that I always think about. When you hear, like, Steve Alford had the rant that went around social media about NIL and the way things are, and you're 100% right. I mean, the sports world, like the regular world, is just going to keep changing. And the people who adapt and keep up with it are the ones who are going to succeed. And I don't, you know, as much as I'll sit here and say, yeah, it's different, it's hard to get used to, I'm not mad about it. I understand why. You know, this is still a big business in a lot of ways, and there are a lot of people who want to make money. And, yeah, it gets dirty and unseemly at times, but – you know, I understand how this is how the world works, and either you handle it and figure out how to, you know, make the rules work for you, or you don't. And frankly, you know, circling it all the way back to Syracuse, they have not figured it out yet. They're working on it. You know, I think they have a decent plan with, you know, how to make use of NIL, working with some boosters and you know, people that can kind of fund that program. But, you know, the world is not the same as it was when Jim Boeheim could roll out a 2-3 zone and confuse 60% of the country just by playing that defense. And either you figure it out or you become a team we kind of laugh about the glory years from 20 years ago, because there's nothing else to talk about right now.
It's funny. I have a book here, Dub Maddox. He's written some football books, and he's a former quarterback, and it's about the passing game. He's big on the passing game. The book's name is Adapt or Die. That's literally the book's name, right? And it's all about that, too, which we've seen in every type of way in sports. And his is about, hey, the passing game has changed. If you're not keeping up with the times, you're not going to have a job much longer, and that's for sure. And what you just said is very, very true when it comes to you know, the way college sports completely operates from the top down. All right, so are you into this tournament, though, and do you have any – we can go wherever you want with this. I'm not sure how much you're into it, and do you have any particular favorites you like to kind of advance on here and get to the end?
Not too into it. You know, certainly I'll watch it because the theater is just ridiculous. But, yeah. You know, being dialed into college basketball, especially near where Syracuse wasn't good, you know, they're kind of the team we cover in Rochester. So when they're not good and you're not like, oh, wow, does Syracuse have X number of quad wins against this other team? You know, it's not quite the same thing. I will say that I got hooked to Houston about January or so. I love their ability to score the ball. I love their ability to create buckets when they need to. And that's the team that I'm riding. That's my bracket of integrity is Houston going all the way. So, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and break them down position by position, but I've seen enough games and their offensive ability to just get totally hooked and think, oh, that's my team. That's who I'm going with this year.
I love it. In fact, I'll say this. Trista Crick, who we've had on the station many times, and, you know, she does a lot of stuff with the gambling partners and sites that we have here. She actually has a bracket. I've never done this until this year, a March Madness Survivor Pool, where you pick one team to, like, just like the NFL, right? You pick one team to win a round, and then you can't pick that team again. And I was looking at, I took Houston in the first round. Yeah, it's an easy win, but that's what I want to survive in advance, Thad, right? And I'm like, well, I don't think I'll pick them in the next round necessarily in a survivor because they got Gonzaga or Georgia, so I might as well pick them here to advance, but it's a survivor pool. I've never done this.
I would think you would want to save the ones. And I know like in the NFL, I'm with you. My rule is just make it to the next week, you know, but I guess there are four ones. It's not like you're burning all your ones with Houston in the first game. But I haven't done one of those. I've heard of it. There are so many fun bracket games, man. It's ridiculous. Like, one of the things I've done, you can do. I do one. It's a squares pool. I haven't done this year, but I usually do it where like you catch numbers and then those are your numbers for the tournament. So if any game finishes with those two numbers, like visiting team lose at home team, then you're a winner for the tournament. Super fun.
Very fun. Thad Brown joining me here on the Wester Hotline. Thad, last Friday, Brandon Bean met with the media to kind of wrap up the first phase of free agency, I'll say. And obviously he dropped the bombshell that Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi are both suspended 6 games for PEDs. He made it clear that they kind of knew up front about Michael Hoyt. They went ahead. They didn't really know until later about Larry Ogunjobi. They still decided to sign him because there really weren't many other options. But he said, we wouldn't have really signed two guys if we knew about this. How much should this matter, A, to the decision-making of the front office and where you read how they approached it, or B, even on the field the first 6 games?
I think the answer to your first question is it kind of sounds like they were maybe a little bit stuck with their thinking. You know, now Hoyt, I can understand the attraction despite the suspension, you know, for Fuan to bring him in. He's versatile. We can talk about him in a minute. You know, with Ogunjobi, it kind of felt like they were committed and that's the way they wanted to go. And I think for a bigger picture, it seemed like they wanted to add, you know, multiple pieces of veteran depth, you know, when it comes to free agency on the defensive line. And certainly the defensive line in general and probably D-tackle in particular were spots where the Bills needed to add. And then to your second question about how much it'll affect the team, look, this to me is still a team that's building for January. So I'm not overly concerned about guys that are not going to play in September and October. Now, that being said, there can be things that impact you when they're out that hurt in January. You know, for example, if Joey Bosa gets more snaps because Hoyt and Ogunjobi are not going to be around for whatever reason, and he gets exposed to injury and then he's not available in January, well, then those suspensions have hurt you in January. But outside of something like that, I'm not overly concerned. The thing about these two signings, Sal, the more I think about them, when you look at it in concert with the draft, the more I've kind of been bothered with the Bills allocating so many resources with these two guys. Because this draft is just loaded with defensive line talent. I mean, I saw a projection where 25 of the first 100 picks might be edges or D tackles. You know, if you throw a stone in this draft, it's going to bounce off three guys like Captain America's shield, and they're all going to be defensive linemen that can play in this league. So why did the Bills spend all these resources, not that it was a huge outlay, but, you know, a good chunk of resources on three defensive linemen, if you include Joey Bosa, when you can get them anywhere in the draft? I mean, the Bills have 3 picks in the first 2 rounds. At least one of them is going to be a defensive tackle. And now, I don't think this draft has a ton of guys who are going to be elite impact guys, but, man, you have 1,000 rotational solid to upper-level starters. So adding Ogunjobi, especially after you knew he had the PED, and look, I understand, you know, maybe they felt like they had made a deal and they wanted to honor that deal, fine. But the idea that you needed to add 2 defensive linemen ahead of this draft is something that I kind of question, especially when, you know, look, the Bills still don't have a guy that you look at as a solid number 2 corner. Could you have saved whatever money you paid one of those guys and maybe made a run at Asante Samuel, who's still out there, or maybe even a bigger name guy who's already signed. I'm not saying this is going to make or break their season, but again, there are guys falling out of, you know, out of the sky in the draft at defensive line. Why spend so much money on two guys is something I question.
Is that the number one priority for you still, since you mentioned it, cornerback number two? They moved on from Kyrie Elam, of course. They bring in Dane Jackson. They have the situation contractually of Christian Benford, but he is under contract for another year. But what happens opposite him? Is that a number one focus of you besides, I guess, D-line, where you said that, you know, obviously you still need help there?
I think D-line might have a better opportunity to have a bigger impact with who's in this draft. You know, again, I don't know if there's going to be a ton of elite guys, but because of the number of high-level starters that are available, at least some of them are going to hit big. You know, I mean, there might be 13 or 14 really solid rotational defensive tackles, not both tackle and end, just in the middle, that are going to go in the first three rounds. And with that many guys, you're going to get two or three probably that are going to, you know, become stars. So I might want to take a swing there because I think I'm going to get more impact if I find a star D tackle as opposed to filling my number two corner. That said, the most glaring hole on the team right now, if you want to throw out a starting roster, is certainly who that corner is. Me personally, I've always been higher on Dane Jackson than most. You know, I know the Bills don't want to have to roll them for 17 games, but I think you can do worse in that third, maybe second corner role. So I'm not overly bent about going to find a corner. The other problem is too, Sal, is that the way that this corner draft kind of lays out, you've got, you know, Will Johnson and Hunter at the top if you want to make them a corner. And then after that, I think there's a pretty big gap. There's not a ton of depth at corner, certainly not compared to what you get at defensive tackle. So it doesn't mean the Bills can't go corner, you know, in the first round. There'll be guys available there. They might want to, you know, maybe reach a little bit on someone who might be a little better, like the 35th pick. But, again, I feel like this draft to me, and maybe this is just a big picture I've had for a while and haven't gotten off of it, this is the defensive line draft for the Bills. This is the let's restock and make that group younger, as opposed to what we've been doing the last few years, which is relying on Daquan Jones and the Austin Johnsons and, you know, the Von Millers of the world to kind of get us by.
Yeah, a guy like Dwayne Carter, big year for him. They hope he takes a step in year number two, obviously. Coming back from the wrist injury last year, he was a bit, you know, inactive a little bit after that as well. If you look at the defensive line, and you take out Ogunjobi and Hoyt, I mean, boy, they got to do some work on the edges, too. Yes, Joey Bosa's coming in, but you know, you got to also have a little bit of load management. You said this is a team gearing up for January and February. But right now, without Hoyt, Thad, it's Rousseau, Bosa, Epinesa, and Javon Solomon. That is it. They need more there.
And that was one of the problems that the suspensions are going to do is if you had both Ogunjobi and Hoyt ready for week one, you have a pretty reasonable, you know, rotation. You could go on the edge with Rousseau, Epinesa, Bosa and Hoyt and feel solid about that. And then if you draft a couple guys and you hit on them, well, now you're in a spot that maybe you could trade Epinesa for a pick in camp and you know, come up with a little bit of an extra asset that way. But now, like you said, instead of having an opportunity to have, you know, a bit of an extra that you can trade, you know, a surplus, now you're right. You got to go find somebody in that draft. In fact, I was reading on The Athletic, Joe Biscaglia did a beat writer's first round mock draft. And he had the Bills trading up for an edge, which, you know, I don't know if I would have thought the Bills would have done 3 weeks ago. So that 100% that they need to add, you know, pieces in the middle of the defensive line and on the outside, because without those two guys, that depth chart going into week one is not anywhere near where the Bills want it to be.
Thad Brown joining me here. You can follow him on Twitter at ThadBrown7, WROC-TV in Rochester. All right. Conversely, on offense, I mean, everybody's pretty much coming back. The only thing that's changed is out is Mac Hollins, in is Josh Palmer. Yeah, they've made a couple additions, Laviska Shenault, Darrington Evans, Kendrick Green, some depth additions here, but that is it for the offense. Where are you with where the offense is in particular at wide receiver?
I think, like you said, they're in great shape. Look, this is an offense last year that scored 30 points in what, like 9 of the last 10 games, whatever it was. The, you know, when you have a group that was playing at like a 97 out of 100, there's only so much you can do to get better. And I think Palmer makes sense. You know, I think the Bills film nerds, and I'm not knocking them. I mean, I think it's just a group of people, and I'm in that group a lot. I think the film nerds are a little higher on Palmer than maybe we should be. But, you know, I don't think it's – I know it's Palmer for Hollins on the roster. To me, it's Palmer for maybe what Amari Cooper was thought to bring, or was what the Bills hoped Cooper would bring last year. And for what Cooper did, which wasn't much, I think Palmer will improve upon that. So if you can find, you know, a couple of improvements on the edges for this offense that already was really good – you're in excellent shape. And the thing that I walk away from, you know, from free agency in general, not just with the offense, but the offense is probably the best example of this. There are so many position groups on the Bills now where you look at the depth chart and it's mostly young and ascending. You know, Palmer for Cooper and Hollins has made that group significantly younger. Out of the, other than Curtis Samuel, they're young and on the way up. Running back, young and on the way up. Tight end, you know, is mostly Dalton Kincaid. We hope he's ascending. The offensive line may not be young, but they're certainly not old for the most part. And a group that's been together now 2 years, you'd think they would get better. On defense, you know, corner led by Christian Benford, young and ascending. Safety, we assume Cole Bishop is now the other starter, young and ascending. So this is a team now that not only is coming off a season where they were the 2 seed, where they were in the AFC Championship, 3 points from the Super Bowl, but this is a team that in general is not really aging out almost across the board. I mean, Matt Milano might be the only player where you look at and say, okay, that guy might be, you know, over the cliff and heading down the other end. But, you know, in general, this is a team that's now positioned themselves to, you know, get better without having to go out and spend $50 million on some big name guy just because of natural development with younger players.
What do you think about the Lions proposal to they had two actually, but the wild card team, if they have a better record, that would actually host a division champion?
I'm down. Yeah, I think that's been something that I've definitely been in favor of for a few years now. You know, I don't know. I was not thinking totally reseed, but you know, my opinion was if you, let's say you took like the seeds last year where, you know, you see the division winners 1, 2, 3, 4, and then like a 4 plays 5, in my opinion, if 5 had the better record, 5 should host. Now, the way I'm doing it probably isn't practical. Like it isn't clean. So I think the Lions setup is better. So 100%, if you have the better record, you know, I think you should host. I like the fact that they had the caveat to where if it's a tie, the division winner will host and or gets the better seed. Because I think winning the division should still mean something. You want those rivalries to matter. You don't want it to be the NBA. Like, they still have divisions in the NBA. They still have division champions. But it is so irrelevant right now, no one cares. The idea that when the Bills play the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Patriots, those games mean more, I want to hold on to that. But I think this Lions proposal adjusts for when a 13-4 wild card plays a 9-8 division champion appropriately without killing those division rivalries.
People thought that the Masters was the April tradition every year. It's really not. The April tradition every year is me asking Thad Brown about the Rochester Americans and their playoffs and the prospects for the Buffalo Sabres, because that's all we have here with our Buffalo franchise playoff, with our Buffalo franchise hockey team, I should say. So what about the Rochester Americans, Thad? They've had a nice year here. Kind of just get everybody up to speed on where they are and what's happening as they wind down their season.
So the Amherst now have gotten into a nice little routine here of being a very solid playoff team. Not spectacular, but they're going to be in it every year, and they're going to, you know, have an ability to make some noise. I think this team might be as well positioned as any of the recent ones to really go deep into this postseason. Sabres recently traded for Eric Brännström, defenseman. It's a, you know, for over you where you guys are in Buffalo, this is kind of a transactional note, not important. But this is a guy who was a first-round pick in 2017. He's 25, and he's got all the earmarks for somebody who's going to wash out of the NHL. He's been traded 4 times, 2 just this year. He's had 200 or so games in the NHL. Hasn't worked out. But he comes down to Rochester, and in 2 games with the Amherst, he scored 3 goals. He's got 16 AHL games this year. He's on a pace for 30 goals and 100 points. This is a defenseman we're talking about. You add him to an offense that already has 2 of the top 10 scorers in the league, and Isaac Rosén and Brett Murray. Devin Levi is tied for the most shutouts in the league. His goals against and save percentage are solidly, you know, top 5, top 10. This is a team with a lot of really good high-level pieces that you want to have, things you want to rely on when you go into a postseason. I mean, the other thing was 3 weeks ago, they were the number one team in the AHL. They had the most points. They've actually gone on a 5-game losing streak, but all 5 of those losses were 1-goal game, so things that could have flipped the other way. So this is a team that I think they've got playoff experience. Now, look, they got a new coach. You know, this is still Seth Appert. I'd feel fantastic. But with Michael Leone, you know, it's a little bit different. But, you know, that said, I'm really excited to see where this team can go. The road's going to be tough. They're in second place right now in their division, and the first-place team, Laval, the Amherst are 2-5 against them this year. And then you already also always have Hershey looming in the conference final. And for those who don't know, the Hershey Bears are basically the equivalent of the Kansas City Chiefs in the AHL. So you know, getting to the Calder Cup final will be a road, but man, the Amherst have, you know, a nice group. And like I think the best group they've had going into this postseason, minus a new coach, for the last 4 or 5 years of them doing this.
Love it. How about Devin Levi? Give us an update on his season, how it's gone for him.
Real solid. You know, he had a run where he had 3 shutouts in a month. I think it was early February was when it happened. You know, he hasn't been spectacular, but like I said, he is very solidly above average. You know, one of the top 4, 5, 6 goalies in the league. Looks confident. You know, looks comfortable. Again, it's not a night in, night out. You know, he's not doing Connor Hellebuck to the AHL, but he's a solid player. I think, you know, in terms of where the Sabres want him to go, he's progressing in the right direction. You know, I don't know what exactly anyone's idea of a timeline was. I don't think he's going faster. He's not, you know, this is not a guy that's demanding time in the NHL. But for, you know, a second-year AHL goalie, I think you'd have to be satisfied with what you've seen across the board. And again, you know, what he does in the postseason, I think in a lot of ways, you know, impacts that. And, you know, last year the Amherst were one series and out, but it wasn't Devin Levi's fault. I mean, he had a 60-save overtime game where they lost. So, you know, he's done just about everything you'd want him to do as an AHL goalie. And again, you know, along the lines of what we just talked about, I'm excited to see what they get out of him in the playoffs because that's going to go a long way towards determining maybe how ready he is for the next level.
All right, buddy. I love it. Good stuff right there. Thad Brown, is there Rochester connections you got your eye in for the news and the sports? You know, we're here in Buffalo talking about Carlin Hartman from Grand Island. He's an assistant coach at Florida. You got the director of basketball operations at High Point is a Buffalo guy. What are the connections in Rochester you're looking at?
We got a couple guys in. There's a kid named Noah Waterman who actually is from the area. He plays for Louisville. I believe he was homeschooled, so didn't go to high school around here, but he is from the area. I think we have one other kid from, is GW in the tournament? I don't think they are, but I think we have one other kid. Yeah, well, there's one other local kid. I can't remember who it is who's in it, but the Louisville kid is number one. I think the other kid we've got in is like a mid-major, probably one and done. So not a ton of stuff. You know, usually for us it's Syracuse, but you know, we will still enjoy the tournament just as much here in Rochester anyway.
No Syracuse teams, no Buffalo teams. St. Bonaventure, obviously, they got eliminated, the NIT as well. But you know what? That gives us a chance to kind of relax and watch the games starting today. Enjoy the games, my man. I'll catch up with you soon. We'll talk to each other. And, of course, we'll be on the Buffalo Kickoff Live draft specials coming up in April. We'll let everybody know about those when the time comes. Thanks a lot, man.
Yep. No problem, man. Good talking to you as always, Sal.
All right, you got it. That is Thad Brown. Of course, you can follow him, like I said, on Twitter. Go check him out at ThadBrown7. Does a great job out at WROC-TV in Rochester. Sports director there. Also host of Buffalo Kickoff Live, which you find here in Buffalo on Channel 4. I'm on that show with him and with Josh Reed and Matt Perino and Tim Graham, Carl Jones as well. So we'll take a time out here. We'll come back. I get some odds and ends here. We can talk about really whatever you want that's on the table. We're a half hour away. I'll reset everything as far as the tournament, the brackets. You want to get involved? I'm doing my own, too. I'm trying to get involved in a few here. I'm trying to actually enter a few in before the 12-15 deadline for a lot of places. I got a friend of mine who's got a booster club, the high school football coach that he's running. Got another friend down in Florida. You know, I try to support here, so we'll tell you how you can support as well when you come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's tournament day number one today. Little update here. Let's get an update on my bracket games here. All right. Let's get to this. Hold on. I got to get to the actual pool and see where it is. My bracket. My pools. All right. There we go. My pools. Holy cow. All right. Here we go, Josh. We are up to 854 entries.
Wow.
854.
That's impressive.
Folks, can we get to 1,000? I think we can. We've had well over 200 just in the time we talked this morning. We need 150 more. 854. Josh, you're in it. Did you do one or three or how many?
I have done three. So let's see what happens, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I'm worried. You ever do these where, like, you say, okay, I'm going to pick different on this bracket, and then you find yourself picking, like, basically the same stuff? I had to like redo the same bracket like three times because I was like, oh, nope, that looks like the other one. Oh, like you just got to change it up a little bit, you know?
Okay, so that's where, if you heard Thad, he was talking about, he said he mentioned his bracket of integrity. So what happens is when you do these, you generally have one bracket where you fill out and go, this is the bracket I actually really think that these things could happen and I'm not doing wild stuff. You have that. That's called your bracket of integrity. And then you do another one where you're just like, I don't care. I'm picking a bunch of upsets. I'm going by colors. I'm going by mascots. It does not matter. And that's usually the one that actually does better, to be quite honest with you, right?
Yeah.
But that's not your bracket of integrity.
Yep. I've had that happen so many years. Like, you think you're picking the right stuff, and then you look at the one where you just clicked and pointed and said, here, I'll pick this team just because why not? And that's usually the bracket that does really good.
All right, let me reset here. And of course, all of this, I thank everybody for getting involved. And that is a big part of getting connected here with this show and with me and everything we do and getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We are about a half hour away from the first games tipping off in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Forget what you saw over the last couple of nights. That's not the first round. That's the play-in games. Those are fun, but it doesn't matter. This is the first round of the tournament, and the first game is a great game. Creighton against Louisville. It's going to be fun. 12:15 p.m. tip. So that's the time you have to enter my bracket pool. Here's how it works, just to remind everybody. We have 37 minutes left here. Go to cbssports.com, find the Sal Sports bracket pool. Okay, Sal Sports, all one word. Enter in. Password is Buffalo, capital B. You can also just find a link on my Twitter feed, at Sal Sports there. Everything's Sal Sports. It's easy. It's Buffalo with a capital B is the password. So enter in. You can enter up to three brackets. Everybody can. So that's you, three times, you, your friend, your spouse, whatever. You want to get in, your kid, doesn't matter. Enter in. It is absolutely free to enter. The only thing I ask in return, if you could, please go to my YouTube page and subscribe, because we are close to 12,000 YouTube subscribers, and this is where you find It's Always Game Day in Buffalo with me and Matt Bove and a ton of other content, and it's really cool if you can go over there and do that. I'd really be appreciative of it if you could do that. We are right now at 11,837 subscribers on YouTube, trying to get to 12,000 here if we can, but that's where you find It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, a whole bunch of other stuff I have going on, a podcast called Sal's House. I interview people as well, but go check it out. Do that. And then when you go through the bracket games at cbssports.com and Sal Sports, I am going to give the winner, whoever wins, a $100 gift card to the NCAA online shop. Second place gets a $50 gift card to the NCAA online shop. Third place, $25. Okay? So free to enter. Just subscribe to the YouTube page. Enter. Fill out your brackets. $100 for first. $50 for second. $25 for third. All the NCAA online shop. All just courtesy of me because I want to have some fun. And we're going to talk about the results here as we go forward every day on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Including tomorrow, when tomorrow I'm going to be out at Wayland Brewery. You got to come out. You got to see me. You got to say hi. Come out there. John Scott's going to join me at 11 a.m. He's going to sit down with me. We're going to have fun talking about the tournament. We're going to have fun talking about the Bills, even talking about the opening of baseball coming up with Pat Melicaro. He's going to join me at 10:30 on the Western Hotline. We're going to do that. We'll come out tomorrow to Wayland Brewery. All right. And that is going to be at 3740 North Buffalo Street in Orchard Park. Great space there to watch the games, get some food, get some drinks. I'm going to be there tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., broadcasting this show live. We're also going to have WGR merch to give away. So come on out, have a good time there, all right? When you do enter my NCAA bracket pool, just know I reward upsets. So if you have a game where you're like, I'm not really sure, go with the upset. Because if it works, you're going to get more points. Whatever the seed number is, that's how many points you get. For every win, plus, not times, plus points per round. Okay? See how easy that all that is? So there you go. Told you earlier today, High Points Director of Basketball Operations, Noah Diebel, he is from Akron. They play today at 12:40, so you're looking for a local tie-in. High Points, a good local tie-in today. That's at 12:40. They take on Purdue. Later today, Montana against Wisconsin. You know, Wisconsin's always been a team that's burned me in the tournament because I kind of love the way they kind of play basketball traditionally, and it's the right way, and they remind me a lot of the Ivy League teams that would make it, and you know, Big Ten basketball. It's physical. It's, you know, the right way, but I don't know. I'm always scared to take Wisconsin, but I will take them today. But I'm always kind of scared to do that. Houston, the number one seed, a number one seed plays today at 2 o'clock. They're the first one seed in this round to tip off. They will take on SIU Edwardsville, Southern Illinois University Edwardsville. We talked about Southern Illinois, the Salukis. That is not the Salukis. Who are these guys? The Edwardsville Southern Illinois team is the Cougars. If you were paying attention before, there are three different teams called the Cougars in this tournament. Another number one seed, the number one overall seed, Auburn, plays today. They take on Alabama State. Do you want to guess, Josh, what is the spread in that game? Auburn favored over Alabama State. How many?
Ooh, let's go.
They're the number one seed.
This is going to be a
overall number one.
Is this going to be a lot? I think.
Yeah.
30. 30 and a half.
Wow, very close. 31 and a half.
Ooh.
Geez. Good job.
Thanks.
Very nice.
I thought 30 was going to be too much. I didn't think it was going to be more than that. That's crazy.
31 and a half. Later today, McNeese State taking on Clemson. Clemson's had a very nice year. Brad Brownell just signing now he's going to get extended like another 6 years, doing a nice job with that program amidst everything going on with the ACC, where it's not quite been the program this year. McNeese State has actually a Syracuse transfer. You might remember him from last year to a couple years ago, Kadir Copeland from last year. He's part of McNeese State. They've had a nice year. They're taking on Clemson at 3:15. Later today, VCU from the A-10, they take on BYU. You got VCU-BYU. It's the battle of the initials. That's Virginia Commonwealth University against Brigham Young University, which Josh learned earlier. Andy Reid went to Brigham Young. Georgia against Gonzaga. The 9-8 game is a fantastic matchup. Bulldogs of Georgia taking on Gonzaga. That's at 4:35 tonight. Gonzaga's always tough in the tournament, right? You get to this time. Remember, even 20, 25 years ago when they started to become, oh yeah, who's this team? This team from Washington. You have Wofford. Yeah, that's right, Wofford. Not Wolford. That would be Will Wolford. Not him. It is Wofford taking on Tennessee later today. I love Tennessee and the way they play basketball. I think they're going to go deep in this tournament. You never know, though. Two seed has lost to a 15 several times. Arkansas is at 10, taking on Kansas at 7. Bill Self not quite having the season that he is used to in Kansas. And some people hypothesizing that maybe it's because everybody else gets to pay their players too. I didn't say that. Just saying now that, you know, that it is legal for everybody. Arkansas at Kansas, but I mean, Bill Self has had a tremendous career, but not quite the year to this year. And then Arkansas, of course, you know, you get John Calipari in his first year taking Arkansas to the tournament and, you know, had to restart with a team, but, you know, they get to the 10th seed to play Kansas. Very interesting. Yale, your Ivy League champion, taking on Texas A&M today. That is a 7:25 game tonight, I should say. Drake at against Missouri tonight, 7:35. Utah State taking on UCLA. That's a 9:25 p.m. start. Of course, UCLA, one of the more traditional college basketball teams going back many decades. Omaha. If you want to hear Omaha, don't you think of Peyton Manning?
Every single
Omaha
time.
Taking, I know, don't you, right? I know, right? Omaha. Do you know what they're, who are they? The Omaha, do you know, they might have the best name in this tournament, actually. Do you know what it is?
I think I should remember. I quizzed Jeremy and Joe on this the other day, but I can't remember.
Okay.
Now.
I'm going to give you a hint. Think Top Gun.
Oh, the Mavericks. That's right. Yeah.
They're the Mavericks.
The Omaha Mavericks. That's really good. I like that.
Yeah. Too bad they're going against St. John's and Rick Pitino, and what a sensational year Rick Pitino has had resurrecting St. John's, the number two seed in their bracket. UC San Diego, the Tritons, going against Michigan. A lot of Michigan fans in the area. I am a Dusty May fan, head coach at Michigan, coming over from Florida Atlantic. They win the Big Ten on a fantastic run they had in that tournament at the end. Last second shot to get to the championship game. And then UNC Wilmington taking on Texas Tech is your final game of the night. A 10:10 p.m. tip. You staying up to watch that? Josh, 10:10 tip tonight.
That,
you might. I mean, the Sabres are at 9.
Yeah, that's true, but I don't think I'm making it. I'm not going to make it.
Sabres at 9 tonight. They take on the Utah Hockey Club. That's an interesting name that's going to be changing as well. I got something on that when we come back. Let's do a little old school hockey and reminisce a little bit about some of these teams and names. We only have a few minutes, but we can do that because the Sabres are playing Utah tonight, so I think it's relevant. And we'll do that when we return here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show as we wrap up your Thursday. All right, so, Josh, what is the first NHL team you remember actually moving?
Ooh, probably the Thrashers, I think.
Ooh.
Cause
Thrashers moved...
To Winnipeg
in 1999.
I'm saying, like, Atlanta back to Winnipeg is what I remember.
The Thrashers... Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. So what did they do? So the Thrashers...
Because it went Winnipeg to Arizona... And then the Thrashers became a team. And then...
Oh, I'm sorry. They went... That's right. They moved in 2011. I'm sorry. They became a team in 99. I just had my dates mixed up. They moved in 2011.
Yeah, that's the only team I remember moving, I think, unless there's been...
Well, that's only... That's that's literally the last one before this one. Coyotes to Utah.
Yeah, right.
Right? I mean, so it's interesting because when I was growing up, there was a lot of movement. The first one I remember was when the Atlanta Flames moved and became the Calgary Flames. I remember that. It was kind of weird. So in 1980, I was 7 years old. The Atlanta Flames became the Calgary Flames.
And the Calgary Flames, the A on their jerseys is a nod to the Atlanta Flames. Or at least it used to be.
Right. And they used to have the same logo, except the A instead of the C. Then I remember 2 years later, the Colorado Rockies moved to New Jersey. The Devils are the old Colorado Rockies.
Yep, that's why they wear the yellow and the blue mixed in every once in a while.
I hated when the North Stars moved to Dallas. That was terrible. Minnesota is such a great hockey city, in a state, I should say, in Minnesota, Minneapolis, but that it didn't feel right, still doesn't feel right. Dallas gets a team, and that's when they really started to go a little bit more south and like, oh, here we go. Dallas gets the team. And then, of course, Quebec goes back to Colorado. The Nordiques become the Colorado Avalanche. That's 1995. The year later, the Winnipeg Jets become the Coyotes. And as you said, it took, 14 years. And the Thrashers go back and become the Jets.
Bring back the Thrashers, please. Please. I want hockey back in Atlanta. The logos and everything were so cool.
The one I'm missing here, which I'm sure a lot of people remember, and you saw this a couple weeks ago when the Sabres played, the Hartford Whalers. 1997, they moved to Carolina and become the Hurricanes. So tonight, I'm bringing up because tonight's the first time that the Sabres will play in Utah. It is the former Arizona Coyotes, but it's now the Utah Hockey Club. We'll see exactly what the name is going to be. All right, Sabres Live up next. We'll talk more about that. One Bills Live after that. Show up with the Bulldog at 3. Enjoy day number one of the tournament. I'll see you tomorrow at Whalen Brewing.